Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. We say of the season that has just passed, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But we say of January, particularly in northern New England, that it is not so much. This is, for many, the most difficult time of the year. It is difficult logistically in terms of getting around and staying warm and even wanting to just get out of the house and go run an errand because it's so slippery and cold. But it's also a very difficult time of the year emotionally. It's a difficult time of the year to feel motivated to do those things, and it's a difficult time of the year because of its darkness, because of the cold that keeps us isolated and motionless within our homes. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing that affects anywhere from 10 to 25% of the adult population in the United States, and it can range from somewhat mild to quite severe. And while there is no substitute for medical attention and treatment for seasonal affective disorder, we do know that there are some things we can do to help our bodies a little bit at this time of year when we tend to feel the more mild symptoms or the winter blahs that many of us experience. Things like get up and get moving and go talk to somebody, even on the phone, or break that isolation, break that inactivity, sit in a patch of sunlight, even if it's through a window because it's too cold to sit outside. Get a little fresh air if we can. Literally, what's happening, what we know scientifically is happening, is that the earth is tipped away from the sun. Well, now that will preach, won't it? Right there. We are tipped away, turned away from the sun, from the light, and this makes it harder for our bodies. This makes it harder for our psyches. I would argue it makes it harder for our spirits too. Our series in this season, our worship series, is called Spiritual Affective Disorder. Because I believe that we too, our spirits too, can be tipped away, turned away from the sun. Spell it a little differently, but the same idea, turned away from the light. We too can grow inactive spiritually or not just feel motivated spiritually. After the high of the Christmas season, all that wonderful celebration, we're back to a somewhat ordinary time. And so we start to feel a little lethargic in our spiritual lives too, a little closed off and isolated. And the same kinds of things help our spirits as help our bodies. Getting a little bit of movement into our lives, a little bit of connection with other people, talking with someone, sitting in the sunlight. And so during this season and this series in our church, in our worship, we're going to be looking at different ways that we can flex our spiritual muscles, different simple take-home spiritual practices that we can try. And the idea is to try them, to try to keep our bodies and our spirits connected, turned perhaps a little bit toward the sun, a little bit toward the light. Our first one, this first week, is light, is turning on the light, flipping the switch, shedding a little light on the situation. It is the Sunday when we focus, Epiphany Sunday, when we focus on light, Christ as the light. Yes, the light, the star that the Magi follow, but also that light that guides us, that leads us, that shines, we hope, through us. Notice these Magi who follow the light, these wise ones, they are completely unafraid to follow a star, completely not worried about what that looks like to other people. Nowadays, we might think that's a little bit strange, but then that was seen as wise. In fact, nowadays, we tend to think that spiritual people in general can be a little bit strange. Sorry to break it to you. But it used to be that those who were deeply spiritually connected were revered, were seen as very wise. These wise ones, these magi, these sages or magicians or astrologers or whatever they were attuned to the spiritual world in whatever way that was understood for them, which would probably be very different than how it looks for us to be attuned to the spiritual world. But they were reading the signs of the heavens or the constellations or whatever it was. They noticed something new, something different in that pattern of light and darkness. And so they decided to check it out. What fantastic curiosity. This light motivates them to get out of their regular comfort zone, whatever it is, and to go explore, to go seek after what is happening, something new. And I think it's that same impulse that motivates them to also listen to a dream and to change their route home. See, Herod, spoiler, Herod did not want to go pay Jesus homage. Herod wanted to find this new threat to his power and eliminate him as quickly as he could. And so the Magi would have been playing into this plot to destroy Jesus, this plot to destroy a threat to Herod's power, whatever it was, if they had returned to Herod and told him where they'd found this child. But what a strange thing, right, to listen to someone in a dream. To listen to a God not your own in a dream. And yet these wise ones, because they are so attuned and so used to following the light, that seems natural to them. They're warned not to return to Herod, and so they change what they're going to do, and they go another way. Look at how often the light motivates these wise ones to change what they were doing, to try something new, a different path, a different country, a different people, a different voice of God, and to follow it. Orienting ourselves toward the light can open us up to something new, something a little bit different. Maybe it's seeing in a different way. Maybe it's finding and cultivating a time of peace. Maybe it's feeling warmed up or energized by the light that shines through the window or from a candle's glow. But my invitation to you this week as a place to start is to turn on the light. Let in a little light. You'll receive each week one of our inserts, because we know how much you love receiving lots and lots of pieces of paper. But one of our inserts about this series, and this week's talks about light. And so on your way out, you're going to be invited to take a candle. There are some shaped like this. There are some that are kind of short taper candles. All of these candles were used at either the longest night service this year or the Christmas Eve services this year. So they have already represented in this community the light of Christ. And they have already represented for our community the light that shines in the darkness. So you're invited to take a piece of that light home with you. We usually make you leave your Christmas Eve candles here. This time we want you to take one home with you and find a time to light it this week. Find a time, hopefully every day, to create a little ritual, whether it's over your morning cup of coffee or before you go to sleep at night to, as the children have been practicing throughout Advent, to enjoy the light, to sit with it, to just see how and if that changes your focus. During our series, you're invited, you're encouraged to journal a little bit or use a practice of reflection about the different spiritual practices we'll offer and see how does this help me feel connected to God, centered or grounded or ready for my day or ready to sleep more peacefully and more deeply at night, having reflected back. But we are inviting you to use a little bit of light this week. Might it be a new orientation and the beginning of a journey, the way it was for the Magi to follow the light. May it be a journey of the self, a journey into and in God's light. Amen.